Welcome to In the Studio, the podcast dedicated to empowering and elevating dance creatives like you. I'm your host, Aubrey Aries, and in each episode, we'll dive into practical tips, strategies, and inspiring stories to help you take your dance career or project to the next level. Whether you're a choreographer, dancer, producer, or in any other creative role, this is the place to learn, grow, and turn your passion into a success. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with me on AubreyAries.com for more insights and updates. Now, let's jump in to today's episode. Rebecca Miller, hey. Welcome to In the Studio.
This is so cool.
I'm so happy to have you. If you guys don't know, Erica Miller is also known as, or formally, Erica Aries, which is my little sister. Yay. I'm so happy to have you. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Always.
Yeah. Love. So if you guys don't know Erica grew up dancing her entire life. And she is now currently an NFL cheerleader for the Cincinnati Bengals. And she's been doing that for the last 2 years. So I'm just so excited for her to jump into her story, share some inspiring things about her life, and just share how she became this successful dancer, cheerleader, and more. So Erica, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great. Should I start since I was young?
Whatever you want.
Go for it. Okay, great. So we'll just start from when I was young because Aubrey was there, so she knows all of it. So if I forget something, she'll just chime on in. So grew up in dance studio world all the way until pretty much I was in high school. Once I got to high school, I saw my sisters do cheer, pom, dance, all the things. So I was like, well, I'll try. Pretty much made the switch after that. Took a while for me to get out of studio dance just because I wanted to do more stuff with school. But then I did that. So I did school, pom and dance, and then went to college, danced there a little bit. It was a D2 school, so it was a little smaller, but that's okay. It was still fun. And then thought I was going to be done. I was done with dance, ready to stop. And then I went to a Bengals game and I was like, well, this is really fun. I knew my sister did it. And I was like, maybe I'll just try, see what happens. So then I went and tried and I ended up making it. And now I'm in my second year. Well, I guess now it's about to end because tomorrow's our last game, but it's okay. But yeah,
it's been really cool watching her journey, especially because obviously I danced growing up and then our middle sister danced. So watching Erica flourish was just so much fun because she was the last one of us three. And talk a little bit about University of Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I can. So it was a smaller school. It was more of a club kind of dance, which was really fun. At first, it was just kind of for me to make friends, and I did. I met the best girls, the best people. They were my roommates, my bridesmaids. They're still my best friends today. It was more of a thing so I could meet people. I ended up being captain for 3 of the years that I was on the team, so of the 4, which was fun. So I would choreograph and do all the things. But yeah, it was fun. It was more of a rec kind of thing. So we got to dance at the basketball games, the soccer games. So still got to dance, but it wasn't as intense as normal probably college dance teams would look like.
Did you guys compete?
We did not.
Yeah. Did you want to compete?
We wanted to. Our school had a lot of rules, which is totally fine, and it just didn't work out. Wasn't in the cards for us then, but hopefully in the near future they get to be able to do that. But it was tough.
Did you think after graduating college, which you graduated college 2022?
Yeah.
And what did you graduate with?
I graduated with a bachelor's in public affairs. So my degree was in criminal justice and pre-law. So I left thinking I was not going to dance and I was going to go right into law school.
And then what happened?
And then I didn't go to law school, which is fine. A lot of my mentors gave me some great advice, which ultimately led me to not do that because it's a lot of debt, a lot of work, a lot of time, which is totally fine. They told me to go live for a little bit. So in that time, I moved to Ohio with my then fiance, and then we got married a year in, and then about 2 months later is when the Bengals kind of took over my life.
So I know you mentioned that you went to a game and you were like, maybe I can do this, but what really inspired you to go after that dream? Because I think a lot of people see the NFL dancers or the NFL cheerleaders and they think oh, I could probably do this, but sometimes that thought stops right there.
So what made you take that thought and like turn it into an action? To obviously make the team.
Well, I was a dance teacher all through college. And then after I left college, I found another studio in Ohio to then teach at. Obviously, I love my kids and I love teaching, but I'd rather be the one dancing and I'd rather be the one learning from other people. I think my time learning wasn't done yet, so I wanted to just kind of do that. So I reached out to a few girls, kind of talked to them. Two of them, which are actually still my teammates, were ones that met up with me and they kind of showed me the ropes of like what a Bangal life looks like, because it's a little different for every team, which is great. And then from there, they suggested to go to a game, actually watch them, which at the time I wasn't super into football. So I literally just watched them the entire time. And I was like, that looks like so much fun. It kind of seemed like unbelievable at the time.
Unbelievable or unattainable?
Both.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like one of those where I was like, there's like 65,000 people at Paycor Stadium then. And I'm like, that's... We went to a crazy game. It was against the Ravens, which at that time I didn't understand how important a game like that was. And so now looking back at it, it's like, wow, Erica, you should have known. But yeah, it was crazy. It was a great game. And I watched them and I was like, that's so crazy. They literally run for 4 hours straight. And yeah. At the time I was like, man, could I do that?
So talk to us more about, you had mentioned that you reached out to a few girls, and I'm assuming when you say a few girls, you're talking about current dancers that were on the team at the time that kind of helped you and guided you. So that is such a keynote for listeners that want to get into this type of work, is like doing your research and making sure that you're kind of like understanding the process. And so talk to us more about how you came to that, because that was genius.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I could have just asked you, my sister. I could have just been like, hey. But I think I realized after stalking every single team and deep diving into every YouTube video that I could find, I quickly realized that every team is very different. Everyone has their own style, their own schedule. And so I was like, you know, I might as well just go straight to the source and just message them. So I DM'd, I think, all of them. I can't remember how many I DM'd. But I DM'd so many girls, and this was August, so they were like just about to start preseason the year before that I tried, or when I tried out, so the year before. So this is like August. I reached out to all of them and talked to a few of them. My schedule aligned with only two of them, so I met with both of them, which was great. And I just went, I met with them, they showed me a couple like staple Bangal moves that I do to this day every 5 seconds in every game, which is really cool, I guess now. But yeah, I just like asked them all the questions and they told me everything I needed to know. So yeah, shout out to them because they were amazing.
Yeah. And you said they're still your teammates.
Yeah, they're still my teammates. That's so cool. Emily and Ashley were the ones that helped me. Shout out. So they were amazing. But yeah.
Thanks for helping my sis, guys.
They were the best.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the audition process. How did you prepare for it? And I kind of want you to talk on like prepping for your audition physically and then mentally, because I feel like those are two separate types of preparations.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I needed to do was work on my fitness, which I know is like a big stigma or stereotype that comes with being an NFL cheerleader, which I totally understand from an outside perspective. Now that I'm in it, if I did not work on my fitness, there is no way that I could get through a 4-hour game. So even though, yes, people see NFL cheerleaders and they're like, oh, they have to like do all this work to stay skinny, it's not really about staying skinny. It's more about staying fit enough to dance for 4 hours straight. If you do watch any of the girls that are in the NFL, like you are running or you're dancing in the entire time. So it does take a level of fitness that I wasn't prepared for. So the first thing that I started doing was understanding my eating habits. And at the time, it wasn't healthy whether or not I was working to be an NFL cheerleader or not. So I had to crack down on that, which my current teammate Ashley did help me with as well, because she's a certified nutritionist. So that was really great. She kind of taught me the ropes on like how to still maintain eating what I love, but still like making sure I get my greens and my fruits and all that every day. I was not a big greens and fruits kind of gal, and now they're like my favorite thing. So that worked out. And then I got into the gym a lot another stereotype I would think is like cardio was what made me lose the weight. It wasn't. It was strength training and watching my protein and being strong enough, and my muscles were strong enough to be at the fitness level that I needed to be at. But I was lucky. I would say a big thing that you need when you go into it is having a good support system. At the time, I didn't tell my family because obviously my sister had already done it. So I was like, I kind of want to do this myself and see if I can get through it without asking my sister, because obviously she would tell me everything and anything. But I was like, I think I want to try this on my own.
Yeah.
In case I didn't make it.
And I think the other thing too is like maybe there was some like, I don't know, like worriness around that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think as dancers, we are very critical on ourselves, very hard on ourselves. And so I think when Erica did end up telling me, like, I totally respected the fact that she wanted to keep it to herself, because it is such a rigid, it can be a very overwhelming thing if you're not ready for it, especially when you're like so nervous to do something like this. So, but we're so proud that she did it.
Yeah, it was so fun. I think the physical was my hardest part. I think the mental was, I was like ready for it. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I think I like click into this mode. I call it my Kobe Bryant mentality. I go into Mamba mentality. And I'm like, once I see it, I'm like, I'm going to get it. And that's just kind of what happened. It turned into a point where I just looked at my husband and I was like, we're locking in and we're doing this. And he was like, great. And he worked out. He got up with me almost every single day at 6 a.m. We both were changing our eating habits. He didn't need to, but he did it because he, I think he understood that it helped me since I wasn't doing it alone. And so that was really great. I would say a support system is the biggest thing that gets you ready for something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so what is the audition process like? Like, walk us through the audition from like the moment you wake up until the moment the day ends.
Yeah, so I would say that auditions start at prep classes, which is 6 weeks before the actual first round of auditions. So if you haven't seen or done or looked at anything NFL, there's, or at least this is for Bengals, so I can't speak for everyone, but I know most teams do prep classes anyways. But they start 6 weeks before that first day of auditions. You go through every week, there's one, and there's like a different style each week. You kind of learn the Bengal style is kind of what we call it. We're in like a transition of trying to do different things, but then it was called like kind of the Bengal style. So you would learn it every single week. Luckily, since I knew two of the girls that helped me, they introduced me to the coaches. And honestly, it felt like right then and there, that was like my first audition with them. And they just asked me my name, what's my dance background, just right there. I was like, luckily I was prepared. But so if that ever happens, if you do go up to a coach and you introduce yourself, be ready to or at least answer something or say something about you to make you stand out in that moment. And so those 6 weeks, I learned a lot.
Just curious, yeah. what was it that you said that made you stand out?
I don't even remember. I honestly think my now coach, she was like, what's your name? And I was like, Erica. And she was like, so tell me all about your dance experience. That was my first question.
Yeah, that's a lot.
From my coach. And I was like, well, I was prepared. I was prepared, but also I was prepared to answer a question because that is very normal. So now when I do talk to girls about joining the team, like if you're going to introduce yourself, be ready to be noticed the next couple weeks that you show up.
Right.
So if you want to hide in the back, which is totally fine those first couple times to get comfortable in the new space, 80 other girls next to you dancing, you can hide for a second if you want to, but once you want to stand out, you got to take it from there. That's kind of your door to get out there.
Right.
And mine was the first day right before we started the class. Probably not the best thing to do, but it's okay.
I think it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out great.
It worked out.
But yeah, I didn't tell anybody or even like my friends, my closest friends. No one knew that I was trying out or that I was going to this first prep class. And I think they posted me that night or something on their Instagram, and I was like freaking out, and everyone was like, oh my God, like, you're on there. And I was like, oh my God, I know. I'm trying out. Surprise. So it was like crazy. But
do you feel like that added more pressure, people knowing that you were auditioning?
Yeah, I was so excited that I got posted. I was so grateful. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they even like noticed me to post a picture.
Right.
And that meant so much to me from like all the work that I did. But from there on out, every single time I had a conversation with anybody, they asked me about Bangles. And I was like very like quiet about it. Like only my family knew at the time, my husband knew, and like one of my closest friends that is now on the team knew. And that was pretty much it. But after that post, everyone pretty much knew. And I was asked a question every time I saw anybody.
Yeah. But. So, okay. So you do the prep classes. Yeah. Now, let's say, okay, it's the day of the actual audition.
Yeah.
So you get up. I'm assuming you do your hair, you get ready, you have all your audition things. Outfit, which is like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Big thing that goes into it. But tell us like what you were thinking, like walking into the audition.
I was just like, I don't even know. I think I like blacked out that day. The only thing that I do remember is like walking in, I was like, this is going to sound like really competition based mindset. You're walking in and I was like, yes, I knew some girls from prep classes. Yes, I made my friends during those 6 weeks. But at the end of the day, we're all walking in trying to get that one spot.
Exactly.
And it is hard, especially because like you want to keep those friendships. But I was like, you know, Erica, you do this. You need to lock in. You put in so much time. Don't let someone that might or might not be your teammate hold you back from that, which I'm not mean when it comes to things, but it was definitely one of those days where I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it for me, no matter how I end up doing it.
Like whatever it takes.
Yeah. So I think that first day we learned 4 8 counts and it was like pretty simple. I feel like it was weeding out the girls that could pick up choreography because that's a really big thing. In the NFL world, we learn very fast and very quick and it is your job to come back knowing it pretty much perfectly the next time you do it.
Yeah.
And so I was ready for that. My mindset was ready for that. Learned the 4 8 counts. They were like, I'm going to play the song 10 more times, do what you need. And then you guys are going. And I think it was 2 at a time. And for Bangles, my rookie year, your prelims, you sat in a circle and you watched everybody go. So, and you went A through Z. I heard this past year because vets skip prelims. They go right into semis. They waited in a room. So you never really know what they're going to pull on you. But then since luckily my name starts with an A, I was in the first couple times, which is fine. And so I knew it. I was stretched. I was ready. And I just went, I pulled it out. This is not important yet, but it will be in the story. At the end of prelims, there was an odd number and a girl couldn't go alone. And I remember my now captain Delaney being like, someone needs to go. Obviously all these hands raised. And in that moment, I remember hesitating. And like, I looked to my friend that I made during prep classes and I was like, why did I do that? Like, why didn't I just raise my hand? Like, because younger me would be like, oh, you're like trying to stand out. Like you're trying to, but like at the end of the day, you are trying to stand out. You are trying to make a good impression. And everything matters. And in that moment, I was like, if I'm back here, I think it was like the next day, if I'm back here tomorrow, like I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to do it. Cause I was a very like back corner dancer for auditions. And so this time I was like, no, you're going to go to the front. And you're going to put yourself first because at the end of the day, you're not going to see those girls again.
Yeah. I think that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I know, like growing up, like we both grew up in a studio where it was very like group, like it's about all of us and the teacher kind of picks who they want. Right. So if you grow up in that mentality in a dance company or in anything where you're just kind of like waiting for someone to pick you in this type of environment where people are literally clawing to make this team, it's so hard to switch the light. Like it's so hard to be like, wait, no, I'm not going to wait for someone to pick me. I need to pick myself and go. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think, a lot of people think like that's selfish, but it's not. In a competitive atmosphere, like Kobe Bryant said it great himself when he went to the Olympics for basketball. He played against Pau Gasol, who is like his teammate on the Lakers, but he's from Spain. And like he said, you're my teammate at home, but right now, like, you're my enemy. Yeah. I don't think those are the words exactly. But something the like truth that. Is that like you guys are all fighting for that spot and every single thing matters.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did you go back the next day and go?
Yeah. So I went back the next day and this was semis and they sent an email like literally like an hour after we left prelims. And I remember driving home and I was like, I'm not going to look at my email until I get home. Looked at my email, made it semis, and I think I like freaked out. I don't even remember. And then the next day I go back and this is also outfit wise, like ask the girls before you go into this because I'm in Bengal land. They wanted you in a different outfit. In other places, they might want you in the same outfit. So
you're talking audition outfit.
Yeah, audition outfit.
So the first day you wore one outfit.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to change into another
outfit.
Into
a different outfit the second day.
Oh, interesting.
And the second day, they also dressed up like you were going into a game day. So they gave you like the layout of like what you should be wearing walking into a game day. And they watched us all walk in as if we were like representing the Bengals that day as if we were going to pass. Anyway, that's a side note. But anyway, so second day comes along, semis happens. This time they went reverse. So they went Z to A. So now we're still in that semicircle. We're still watching everyone, still two at a time. But now vets are there, which they all walked in at the same time.
Which is probably like so intimidating.
The most intimidating thing ever, but it's okay.
Wait, okay, so your first year, you obviously watched the vets walk in, but you mentioned that this is your second year. So were you actually intimidated walking in this your second year, or were you like...
Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't realize, like, the vets have no idea who they're about to see.
Right.
And who showed up that first day.
Right.
We don't know how well they did. We don't know what they learned or who they met or what happened. Like, we don't know anything. I don't know if that's like that for other teams, but in Bengal land, like, you don't know anything.
Right.
We did not walk in together year two. And because I think us rookies the past year were like, that was really intimidating.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, you know what it feels like when you're a vet.
Yeah. They were like, we didn't mean to come off intimidating. And we were like, yeah, it was. And we were like, you know, this year we're going in like, cause we're all fighting for our spots too. And so, with that, the year prior, there were vets that got cut. And so this, my second year, I think we were all like, oh, we were like all actually fighting for this spot right now. Yeah. So, but yeah, walking in second year was, it wasn't
just as intimidating.
It was just as intimidating because you see girls that you didn't even see at prep classes. You see people that you're like, I've seen, I saw you last year, or it's just like crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Sorry that I just had to interlude on that because yeah, walking in as a vet and walking in as a rookie kind of feels like the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like walking in as a rookie, and like this might be different for everybody else, it's like you have nothing to lose. And like walking in as a vet, I knew what I had to lose. And it was so, it was really emotional, I think, even on like finals day, because it was like, this could be the last time I see these girls every day of my life. Like you spend so much time with them. It's, they're literally your sister. So it's really difficult to see.
So talk to me about when you finally did, or you finally received, like, that you had made the team.
How did they do it my rookie year? Oh, I remember this. Yes, I do. So finals were on a Sunday or Saturday or something like that. My mom came into town, or our mom came to town. She was with me, and they said, you'll find out sometime between Wednesday and Friday. And my mom's flight was on Thursday. That's important. And so we go through the whole week. I'm like waiting, didn't sleep. My mom's like trying to help me decorate this new house that we just moved into. Like, it was just like, I didn't sleep, didn't think about anything until at all, actually, just in general. And so comes Thursday, and I drive my mom to the airport. We had been loading the little website all day and night, like hoping that it would come out.
So it wasn't an email. It was on the website.
Yeah, it was a website. So okay. It wasn't an email. And we're like loading and we're loading and we're loading. My mom goes to the airport. I drop her off. I drive all the way back to my job where I was teaching dance. So I'm like with 4-year-olds. I finally sit down and my phone goes crazy. Right when like 5 o'clock hits, I'm like pressing play for like freeze dance for these 4-year-olds. And my phone goes crazy. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I must have made it. Like, right? Like, so I have to finish playing freeze dance with these 4-year-olds. And then I finally look at my phone and I'm like, holy crap. Like, I just made the Bengals. Like, I don't think it really like sunk in. But I'm like sitting there with these, like, I think it was like my 5-year-olds now. My 5-year-olds are walking and I still have 3 hours left of work. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I was just like... everyone gets to do whatever they want today because I just made the Bengals.
Today's a free day.
Everyone can do make up your own dance. It was that kind of day because I was like freaking out and everyone was texting me, and I finally got to, once I left work, I think I like had that 10-minute drive to myself, and I was just like, what is going on? Like, it didn't really like process. And like once I got home, I was like in the group me. I was like in, I got an email, like it was like happens. All these followers from like all the girls. It was just crazy.
Like, it just happened like so fast.
Yeah. It was like, I was like, wow, like the people know who I am. Like, that's really cool. It was like the other 29 girls that were on my team. But yeah, I finally got home and was able to kind of sink in. Actually, I don't think it ever did, but it was crazy. Yeah.
So walk us through like a normal NFL cheerleader day.
Yeah, it's a long one. They're called the longest days of my life. And everyone knows when they're happening. So this is just with like my job. Keep in mind all the other girls also have full-time jobs, so we pretty much have the same kind of look of schedule, or full-time students, and so like they have a crazy schedule as well. But like a normal practice day, I teach fitness classes on those days, so I'm up bright and early. I teach the 6 a.m. so I usually wake up around 4:45, and I'm at my work by 5:30, and then I teach 3 classes all the way up until about 2, but I also manage the studio that I'm at as well, so in between that I'm like working, and then I usually leave around 2. I have about an hour to like get home, eat, do what I need, and then I get ready for practice at 3. So from 3 to 4, I'm getting ready. Usually with my job, their meetings network-wide are at 3 on my practice days. So I just play them and they're on Zoom and I'm like listening while I'm getting ready. I'll get ready, and then 4, I'll leave my house and I'll pick up my friend, or she'll pick me up, whoever's driving that day. And so, yeah.
And she picks you up because you live an hour away.
Yeah, we live an hour away. So we live in Dayton, which is about an hour from Cincinnati. It's about 45 minutes without traffic, but of course on our practice days, it's like an hour and a half. So we leave really early. So we'll leave at about like 4:15 is usually our goal. We'll get there around like 5:15, 5:30. We usually stop at one of our sponsors to get a smoothie before for our energy.
Shout out the sponsor.
Yeah, shout out them. Love Better Blends. We love you. And then we go and we do this pre-practice with all the girls in the locker room.
A pre-practice practice.
Yeah, pre-practice practice. This is like the best hour ever because we're all going over everything that we need to know that day.
Is that because like you'll get in trouble if you don't know?
Practice is more like perfecting what you should already know.
Got it.
And so if you go in not knowing, you kind of have that hour to figure it out.
Yeah.
Especially because I think my rookie year, Bengal life kind of took over my mind no matter what. I was practicing every morning, anytime I could. This second year, kind of like just for me and my own mental, I kept practice at practice. And once I left, I wouldn't really touch it. I hope my coaches don't listen to this. But It's true. When I would get to pre-practice practice, it was like when I was able to like actually lock in, focus in on what we were supposed to know that day. And all the girls are there. Like, we are all there an hour early. Yeah. And so we're all helping each other, asking the questions and making sure we all know what's going on. Cleans, formations, everything.
Nice.
And then we'll go into practice at 6:30, and we're there till 9 on a non-game week and 9:30 on a game week. And then I drive home an hour, get home around 10:30, shower, go to bed. Usually around 11:30.
It's a long day. But it's fun. So how is it balancing performing at such a high level with other personal and professional commitments? How have you learned to balance that? Because I can actually understand how that's hard. So what are some tips that you have for our listeners that could help them?
Yeah, I would say my rookie year, I had no balance whatsoever. I was so scatterbrained. I was so everywhere that I would say my personal took a lot of the hit, and so did my like work side. And so the second year I was like, I really need to lock this down because this is like really difficult. And I have learned that lists are my best friend. I love a good list. So every morning I make a list of what I need to accomplish that day, and I prioritize them, or no, I put them in order and like what I need to get done. What's most important to what's least important and could be moved the next day if I need to. And so I caught my worry window. It's the only time I get to worry about everything. And I put everything in a list and then I just go from there. So I do that and then I go through my list that day and I kind of just have to do my at home at the time I'm there, and I have the same schedule every single day. And then at work, I only focus on work. I don't let the, I love you bang gals, but I don't let the bang gal like group chat take over my mind while I'm at work. And then once I leave work, I decompress from work, really from eating lunch and getting in the mindset of starting to get ready before going to practice. That's when my mind kind of starts to switch. I switch off my work mode and then I turn into bang gal Erica. And then that's where my mind goes from there.
What is one thing that people don't know or misunderstand about cheering for the NFL?
Like dancer or like girls?
Or like anything. Because I think that there's a lot around being a cheerleader for any type of league, right? But what's one thing that you thought maybe or have heard that's like not true?
I got a big one. And this is for specifically Bengals. I can't talk about any other teams. But it's always about the girls and how we are with each other, if they're catty or if we don't get along or all of that stuff. And honestly, like those 29 girls that I'm with are the best girls that I've ever met in my life, the best people that I've ever met. And they like we really are sisters for life, because at the end of the day, nobody else knows what we went through in that year or multiple years or whatever it is, except for those other 29 girls.
Right. Yeah, that's a great, I think, yeah, there is that
stereotype.
Thank you. There is a stereotype when it comes to like, you know, catty girls. But the truth is I think you go through so much together that like you have, no one else will ever understand you guys having like those early practices or getting like reamed by your coaches, not saying that you get reamed by your coaches, but just the intensity of what this job entails. So I think that that's great. What's next for you when it comes to your dance career?
You know, I really have no idea. I told myself like do NFL and then be done, but my sister wants me to do other things, which is fine if that ends up being in the cards for me. But
other things as in NBA.
But I think that's like the only other thing I would do or think of doing.
Do you think you'll go back to teaching dance or?
Probably not. I loved it. It was a great college job teaching the little ones, but yeah.
But no.
But no.
Okay, so what advice would you give to dancers that aspire to achieve the same that you have when it comes to being an NFL cheerleader?
You know, I always watch podcasts and they like get to this point and I'm like, what would I say?
Well, we're here.
Well, we're here. So
what would you say?
Honestly, I would say do it for the little girl that wanted to do it when she was younger, and do it for the girl that was in dance class in the back line thinking she can't ever go to the front. Do it for her. I think obviously as adults, like I think I forget that little Erica would be in awe of what she's doing right now. And so I think when I'm out there and it's like 5 degrees and we're freezing and it's like, oh, I really don't want to be out here dancing. Like in my mind, I'm like, but little 8-year-old Erica would be like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, what? Why are you giving up on this right here when I have been dreaming about this forever? So do it for the little one.
Yeah, that's great. Last question, but probably the best question. How has your passion for dance evolved since becoming an NFL cheerleader?
Dang, that's kind of a hard one.
Close it out good, Erica.
That's kind of a hard one. I would say I definitely lost a lot of passion for dance before I went into the NFL. I think, like, after studio and after high school, I was like, I'm done. Like, coaches are a lot. Dance teachers are a lot. And I wasn't dancing for myself anymore. So I think once that mindset switched before even trying out, I've been able to kind of enjoy it. My rookie year, I would say I think I blacked out the entire time. I don't really remember a lot about it. But this second year, I told myself, if I'm doing this, like, I'm going to take it all in. And so now every second of every game, anytime I get to look or get to just, like, see anything, I look around me and just be like, I'm just so, like, proud of myself and what I'm doing. And I think because I'm proud of myself, like, that passion kind of went a little higher. But, yeah.
Or maybe a lot higher.
Or a lot higher. Yeah.
Well, so David and I, my husband, and our little baby got to go see Erica perform at the game back in, when was it, October. And as her sister, just seeing her live out such an extraordinary job, like, you can't help but just be so proud, because I knew little Erica. And so just to see her on the field, like, it's just so mesmerizing. Of course, we both share the same passion, and, you know, I understand a lot of what she goes through, but as a sister, it's just so awesome. So if you are, you know, in the vicinity of trying out for a team, any team or anything, I think as much as you do it for yourself, there's going to be other people out there who are just as proud of you. And so don't talk yourself out of it. Just go do it. So, well, thank you so much, Erica.
Do it.
In the studio. It's thank been a pleasure you. Having you. And hopefully, okay. Whatever your next dance journey is, you can be a guest again. About something else. Yeah. Or about the same thing. Maybe we'll
about something else.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining in. And I'll see you in the studio.